So the Gra in Mishlei Perek Vav at the beginning, Bini Imarapta L'Reyecha Tokato Lazor Kapecha. So you remember that what we were dealing with is an Arev, and as the Goyin does all the time, he does not allow that a second phrase, which seems to be very similar, should simply be for reinforcement purposes and redundant. Each phrase has its own strength, its own power, its own meaning, and it is different from the other phrase. And the difference sometimes is very subtle, sometimes it's not so subtle, but there's always a difference. B'ni, says the Gra, imarapta l'reyecha, sheyesh shnei minei arvus. Arif stam, sheim lo yishalim haloive yishalim hu. In other words, in the case of regular arvus, a cosigner, he is a person who gives a guarantee that comes after the loveh. The loveh has to pay. In the event that the loveh cannot pay, he runs off l'medina sayam, or he has no money, then he goes to the arev. The malveh collects from the arev instead. But in that kind of arvus, the loveh always comes first. So you imagine a line with three dots. The malveh, the loveh, and on the bottom is the arev. Now here, there's another kind of arev. V'habeis, the second arev. Hu ha-nikra shluv dutz. Now shluv dutz is an interesting word, an interesting expression, and it's found in a number of contexts, lav dafka in the inyan of arvus, but it is found in arvus, of course, as well. The shluv dutz is what we would call in English alkaline, the opposite of acid. Now, what does one thing have to do with the other? Das nicht verwundt. But the shluv dutz that we're talking about here, this alkaline person, is a kablon type of arev. It's called arev kablon. He was mekabel upon himself a higher level of responsibility to pay. And that is symbolized by the letter Y for upside down. In other words, you start with the malveh, and then you could go down and go either to the loive or to the arev, equally. And that's what he says. V'hu arev kablon. V'zehu imarafta l'reyecha, hu arev stam. Im takata l'azor kapecha, hu arev kablon. Shenichnas b'kaf mamash. So he doesn't learn that tkias kaf means simply an agreement which is sealed with a handshake. He learns takata means you ended up in his palm. He's holding you by the throat, so to speak. Because this arev, you may go to him first and collect the money. So it's a much greater kind of responsibility, number one, and it's also a stupider thing to do. I mean, simply, because the chance of losing your money is all the greater. So Im takatal dozo kapecho av kablon, shenichnas bekap mamsh. For inyan, now what does this have to do? Remember the medrash, and the Goyin is clearly identifying this pasuk in terms of that medrash. For ha inyan, what are we talking about? Again, this is Mishlei, so we're not talking about taking loans. So what are we talking about? We're talking about communal responsibility. Responsibilities of Talmidei Chachamim. This is what he says. How do you find two kinds of arev in that? For inyan sheim neged shnei minei rashi Yisrael. V'hein arvus k'moshe kosuv v'asimein barashechem. V'hein hazakeinim v'hashoiftim. V'k'moshe kosuv lo yosur shevet mihuda u'mechoikek mibein raglov. V'amru Chazal tell us, lo yosur shevet mihuda heim rashi goliyo shebebavel, sheroidim esa'am b'maklois, u'mechoikek mibein raglov, elu nisiyim sheberetz Yisrael, v'loimdim toira barabim. So you have the rashi goliyo in Bavel, parallel to the nisiyim, the nasi, for example, Rabbi Yehuda nasi, in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, what is the difference between these two? The pasuk va'asimein b'rashechem, right? And then there is the inyan of Rashi Goliyos and Nesiyim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin daf hey omid aleph. So, the Gaon says as follows. He now breaks it down, which is which Arev? Who's the Arev Stam of these two? Rosh Goliath in Babel, or the Nasi Sheberitz Yisrael, and who's the Arev Kaplan of the two? Zok the Gra. Oysan Halimdim Torah, that's the Nesim Sheberitz Yisrael, Haim Arev Stam, Shumachuyav Liroy Shloyavai Michshol Miyadai, Hainu Shiyilmoid Itam Heitev, Viazbir Oysam, Kedei Shalo Yitu. Vintakata Lizor Kapecha, Huneget Hadayonim, Shizet Tolik my Arev Kablon, Shemachnis Atzmai Bimekoimai Mamash, Kaina Dayonim Hichnisu Es Atzmach, Kinoitl Mama Mizer Venoisen Laze, Beloy Rotzen Habal Din, Harehichnis Atzmai Be'arev Kablon. So Be'emes, I don't know personally, I don't know for sure why the Gra divides it up between the Rosh Goliath versus the Nisiyan. I would prefer to just learn the Goyin's latter portion here in Pasuk Aleph, leaving that Prat out, and just explaining, as he does, the difference between a Malamed in theory and a Paisek, a Dayan, in practice. That's really his Chiluk. In other words, if I am an authority of Torah, and I teach you, I better teach you well. If I don't teach you well, the guilt and the responsibility for the failure of the Talmud in the future, in the Chesaron, in his Yediyas HaTorah, is placed squarely on the shoulders of the Rebbe of the Malamed. That's a remarkable and awesome responsibility. But yet, it's all theoretical. Masha Ein Kain, a Dayan, if he doesn't know what he's doing, and he doesn't paskin correctly, not because they gave him the wrong information, because he doesn't know. He's not capable. And nevertheless, he assumes that mantle. So when he fails, he's taking mamon mizeh v'noisin lazeh shaloi kedin. So that's why his responsibility is even greater, because the material consequence is immediate. And he's basically a gazlan, in effect. In effect, he's a gazlan. That's what he says. Arev Kablon, Shemachnis Atzmai B'mekoy Mamash. He says like this. I am making you pay, right? So basically, I'm taking upon myself the responsibility of moving money. That's why he's like an Arev Kablon. Because in a certain sense, it's coming from me. Of course, I don't lose a penny. I mean, later on, there'll be a whole ASIC. What do you do now when you discover that it was a mistake, right? Shalom Ibeisai, etc. But the fact is that the Goyen compares him to an Arev Kablon because he causes money to move. Now, it's very interesting. In the case of an Arev, you're also causing money to move. You know why? Because the Malva is not going to give the money to the Loiva Stamazai. He's not confident, he's not secure that the Loiva will pay. So he needs that backup called the Arev. Now, the Arif in such a case is an Arif Stam. He's just a backup. That's true. That is true. But at the same time, the Malva would not have given the money. The Arif Kablan, however, increases the chances of the Malva giving the money significantly. Why? Because he's allowed to bypass the Loiva. So, Mamela, you have your security almost in hand. So the Goyin says that the theoretical application, this is the point that I'm trying to make. Don't think for a moment that a Rebbe who teaches his Talmud Krum is not really doing so much damage because it's just theoretical. There's no such thing as theoretical Torah for the simple reason that a false Torah is a terrible thing. That in itself is a horrible thing. But besides that, there will always may be consequences coming down the pike. Right. That's right. Zohar and Zecher comes out later to a massacre. So Lemaisa, you have a whole idea of theory becoming practical eventually versus practical right now. That's the chiluk that he says between an Arev and Arev Kablon. But there are always consequences. But besides potential future consequences, there's also an avla in fakrimming the Torah naturally. Mezayif HaTorah is a terrible thing. So that's the first Gra. So the Gemara in Pasuk Bay says, let's look at the Pasuk. Noikashta be'imrei ficha, nilkadata be'imrei ficha. It's very rare, by the way, that the...
You just said it's exactly the Gemara. You said that you don't look at the end of the Pasuk. It's exactly what the Gemara says.
That's what I said. I'm just saying that I can't see clearly how the Goyim differentiated between the Rosh Goliyos in Bavel versus the Nesiyim in Eretz Yisrael, for the simple reason that they both had both responsibilities, L'chaira. They both paskened, and they both were Dan Dinei Torah. And you needed to get the Rishus of the Nasi to pasken, just like you needed to get the Rishus of the Reish Galusa.
Yeah, but we follow Bavel, so for our perspective, only the Dayanim were only in Bavel.
No, but that's not what he means. He's saying there's something different about them that relates to these two. I haven't figured it out yet.
Okay.
And I don't like to fadre people a cup. If I don't understand something, I'd rather leave it alone and for another day. But the point of the Grof, clearly we have. We have a very clear picture of what the Grof wants. I just wanted to know about that connection. Okay. So now, what I was about to say, before I was so pleasantly interrupted, what was that the pasuk itself is unusual in that it almost repeats itself literally. See, we usually have two different phrases which make a similar point, but here it's be'imrei ficha, be'imrei ficha. The only difference is noikashta. What's a mokesh? A stumbling block, a trap. And what's nilkadata? Again, a trap. But it's two different kinds of traps. So let's see what the Gemara does with this. Nilkashta b'imrei ficha, of course, the Gemara is going to extend what he said in Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Beis. Since we're dealing with two kinds of Arif equivalents, the Arif Stam, Arif Kablon idea connected to Torah and Psak Halacha and Din and Dayon. So what we'll see here is an extension of that. Now, who messed himself up here? The Arev does not do anything but open up his mouth. It's an astonishing thing. It's like the Bahiyanah that people are willing to lend the money on his say-so. That's like makes the commitments. Don't even need a Kenyan. So you open up your mouth and say, I agree. I will pay. So that's Be'imrei Ficha. So you trapped yourself. In an instant, it could cost you a fortune. So what is the difference between the two words, noikashta and nilkadata? Noikashta b'imrei fichu neged oisam aloimdim oime noikashta b'imrei fichu kloima. Im loy sira heitef. If you don't make sure, shaloi tikashul b'dvar halacha, harin noikashta b'imrei fichu shetayra, right, shetayra dover shaloi kalacha. You will teach Torah like Ira. Shetayra with a segel under the resh. Shetore davar shaloi kalacha. Nilkadata b'imrei ficha, who neged ha-toikim, that's the toikim who put themselves in the other person's palm. V'heim ha-dayonim shenot l'mamim mizeh v'noisim l'zeh, who nilkad mamish, sheyoytzi mimah mamon ba'atzmai shaloi kedin. So, v'omar loshen nilkad, ki hu bein odom l'chaveroi. V'chashe yoytzi shaloi kedin, hu biyad chaveroi. V'zehu nilkad. Shenilkad biyad chaveroi. Avol oisem aloimdim hu bein odom lamokim oimer nichshal v'zehu no kashta. He's learning that when you get into a situation where you took money shelo kedin, you are affecting a bein odom chavero situation, of course, as opposed to teaching Torah in the abstract, which is bein odom lamokim because it's a false Torah. But the lashon of bein odom chavero uses a trap that you're in the trap already. It's a stumbling block. In other words, there's a danger, but you're not in the trap. So his chiluk between noikashta and nilkadata fits into the system that he has established already, and then he calls it bein odom lamokim versus bein odom lechaver. So what's the eitzah? What do you do? How do you fix things? So the Pasuk Gimel says, Asei zois eifo b'ni v'hi notzel. So what does it mean? So we spoke about this for several sessions. Let's see how the Gemara explains it. When Yitzchok sees that Yaakov came, ba'achicha b'mirma, and he took the brachas away. So he says, what is left for me to do for you? I mean, what? It's like saying the matzav is basically hopeless. That's what the word eifai is trying to say. And maybe we'll be able to save the day, perhaps, with one thing. That's the eifai. So that's what the Goyen says. Lamaisa, you opened up your mouth, you paskin shalokadin. In the marshal, you agreed to pay the money who told you to do that. And now you're stuck. But maybe there's an eitzah. That's the eifai. Now that you've gotten yourself into such a mess, let's look for eitzahs, how we're going to climb out of it. But it's like a way of saying that we're very bidyevet right now. We're looking at a very, very bidyevet situation. You're really in the mess. Your feet are in the quagmire. You're sinking in quicksand. And now we got to look for a big pole to pull you out. And that's what it means. So that's what the word eifai is emphasizing. So what is it? So he says, Bini im basal yot, eifoma se bini. Im basal yot cha kadover hazeh, what's going to be? Who neged haloim dim toira, vi notzel ki bosa bekafriyecha, who neged adayon. Lachain omar, shetira li notzel ki bosa biyadriyecha. Kanal, kloimar. Shatirali notzel kamoi misha bo biyadachev nilkad bimitsuda. He's already in the trap and the trap was closed. And you're stuck completely. Veroya b'chola tachbulos li notzel. And this person who's inside the trap is squirming to figure out any possibility of how to get out of the trap and save himself. Kein tira gam ato. Now it's you're supposed to try to figure out li notzel miyodoi kivin shabosa biyodoi. So what do you do? So what should you do? All right, so we're going to look for eitzes. And we're stuck and we're in the trap. And he already paskened. That they were yasvi v'garsi v'chol shaita v'shaita k'mashomah ma'isad Reb Shim Gamliel ha'ne'erak. So here you have a very, very interesting eitzah that the Vilna Gaon suggests, which is astonishing, actually. Let's just finish the gra and we'll go back and explain everything. We're rehav reyecha, hu neged haloimdim, right? Eefshali notzlach bazeh shetira l'rahayiv esreyecha kloimar legadol sheyelamdon v'yochol lilmoid ba'atzmai. That's what he says. And skip a couple of lines in the parentheses. Umasheko omar eitzel hinotzel kibotza bekaf reyecha shesham hu neged adayonim v'omar reyecha anu mipnei shesham medabish otzimom shlokedin v'oz hadayon reyoi kamayhu. He doesn't have any more the level of Elohim. He's just your buddy, your equal, because he's not in the Madrega of Dayan if he did Shaloi Kedin. So he's just called Reyecha. So in other words, Asei Zois, let's go back to Pasuk Gimel for a moment. Asei Zois Eifoi B'ni V'hi Notzel Ki Bosa B'kaf Reyecha Leich Hisrapes U'rahav Reyecha is two separate phrases. One of them is the kibasa b'kafreyecha, refers to dayonim u'paskin shlokedin and u'motzi mamon mizel lazel already. The other one refers to people who taught erroneously. So let's take the people who taught erroneously first. What's the eitzah? Become a better Rebbe. Teach harder, better, stronger. Make your Talmud a lamdan, a Talmud chacham. In other words, and you'll see that the same idea applies to the dayonim as well. But it's very fascinating in the case of the Dayonim, because we're not talking about Dayonim who are incompetent. We're not talking about what we mentioned earlier, in an earlier shir, that we're talking about Ki Rabim Chalolim Hipilov Atzumim Kol Arugeo, the Talmidim Shelo Higil Lohara V'Emorim. He doesn't mention here that they're Talmidim Shelo Higil Lohara. He's talking about real legitimate Dayonim. But he didn't paskin correctly. And he ends up messing those people up to the tune of whatever the amount is. Din pruta kedin meya, but sometimes it could be a fantastic amount of money. So how do you correct this? In other words, what tshuva, so to speak, do you do? So now Lemaisa, the money's gone. And in the case of the Talmud, he's teaching him something he taught him wrong. So what should you do to fix things? It's not with the same people. That's my point. In other words, if you'd ask an Arev, so now, what should you do? So you lost the money and you had to pay. So what's next? So what would I do? Well, what advice would I give the Arev? Don't ever do it again. Exactly. Right? So in the case of the Dayanim, I can't tell him, don't ever paskin wrong again. Of course he's not supposed to paskin wrong again. He's not allowed to paskin wrong. What about in the case of the Melamed? Don't teach him incorrectly. Of course he's not supposed to teach him incorrectly. So what is it that I'm supposed to do, to so to speak, when I encounter this phenomenon that I messed up, either theoretically or even lemaisa beinodom lechaver? So the Gaon says you have to improve yourself to prevent the possibility from happening again. That's in the case of the Talmud. But it's much more than that. Because if it was just a matter of improving oneself, the Goyen's Lashon would have been Legabe himself. And you'll notice an interesting thing. The Goyen's Lashon is Legabe others. And this is the most fascinating thing in the Gro here, is the Eitzah that he gives to the Dayanim. Expose yourself to the maximum opportunity to help others in a correct din Torah. In other words, we would suggest perhaps you've made a mess, run for your life. Don't ever be a Dayan again, like we would say to the Arev. Or you made a mess, you didn't teach correctly, become a stockbroker. For that, you'd be suited perfectly. They're always giving wonderful advice. But Lemaisa, that's the opposite of what the Gro says. Mamish the opposite. It's so fascinating. To me, I find it to be incredibly fascinating. The Goyen says, Mamish Pumfakat. He says, jump into the fire and be the best you could possibly be and the most available that you could possibly be. Which is an amazing thing. It's an astonishing thing. The pshat is, I'll tell you what the pshat is. Achrayus is a very interesting concept. It's something that if a person takes it seriously, he has two opposite conclusions. And the Goyen is telling me, the one who's learning the Bir Hagra, that you shouldn't make a mistake and take the one conclusion instead of the other. Because two conclusions are possible.
What are they?
One conclusion is expressed in the famous expression, the famous words, Mali ulitzara hazos. In other words, a person messed up and he says, listen, I don't have to be a Dayan. I don't have to be a Pesach. I don't have to be a Melamed. I don't have to be a Rebbe. I'll do something else. And then I won't have any responsibilities for the tzibur. I won't have to worry about being Yerush Gehenim because I messed up this fellow or that fellow, or I took Mamon Shalom Kedin. What do I need it for? So the Goyen says that could have been the consequence. And the truth of the matter is, in the Arev situation, in Mamonis, maybe that is even a viable alternative. Maybe. You know very well that there probably are certain cases of Arev where it is appropriate. And in fact, the whole inyan of Arvus and the pasuk from which Arvus is derived is from Yehuda being Arev for Binyamin to his father Yaakov. That is, therefore, according to the Gra, not the solution. Don't run away. Don't chuck the Arvus. Don't give up the responsibility. Don't hide in a little hole and protect yourself that way. Why? Because that kind of arvus is a critical necessity for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael needs malamdim, it needs moirei derech, it needs manhigim, it needs paiskim. There's an expression called yirei hora, and people should have yiras hora.
But it's like the Brisker Rav once said about an Eidus that he asked to be an aid by his chasana, that he was marrying off a child. That person says, I'm going to be an aid, I'll have a heart attack. He says, it's exactly the person that I want. I want a person that's scared out of his wits that maybe he's not good enough. Because that proves that he's a tremendous Erlich Hayyid. A person who takes it glibly, who knows what he's been doing with his life and how much what kind of a scoundrel he is, with sometimes not even realizing it, because he does it all the time. That's what I want, he says. I want somebody who's terrified. The same thing here. We want somebody to be a Yarei Hara, but we want him to be Myra. If every Yarei Hara is going to run away, then naturally, there's not going to be anybody, and I guarantee you that the void will be filled. And it will be filled by incompetence, or by people who are not afraid, or people who don't care, or people who do not have genuine Yirat Shamayim. That's exactly what happens all the time. So the Gaon says the Eitzah is not to throw the Arvus out of the window. So what is the Eitzah then? So he says, Leich Yisrael, he says, Faket, jump into the foray, go into the fire, but with alacrity, enthusiasm, and competence. Whatever it was that messed you up then, you don't know enough, go back to the Beis Medrash yourself. You didn't spend enough time, make sure this time that nothing interferes, that you don't get caught up with nonsense, that you're not preoccupied, or you don't do too many things at the same time, or you get enough sleep, whatever it is. But do it right this time. But not run away. So he says, let's say a person's a dayan. So normally you have a dayan, and he has hours. You have a lot of people answer shilas also. They have hours. Then you have somebody. Of course, he has to sit and learn himself. He can't, not just because he needs it for psak, because that's kihem chayenu v'ruch yameinu. So what do? The Terence is, you put up a sign, I'm going to be in the Beis Medrash from 9 to 9. From 9 in the morning till 9 at night. And I'm sitting and learning with my chavrusa. And anyone who's a din Torah, just knock on the door, ring the bell, and we will pass in the shaila, and then we'll go back to the gemara. In other words, what he's saying in effect is that he's basically available all the time. That's the madrega that the dayan has to immerse himself. To challenge the failure, he has to immerse himself even more. So he gives exactly that example. The example, take a look, on the top line of page 2. You see it? That's what he calls an askupa hanidresses. You know what an askupa hanidresses is?
The threshold.
Yeah, what's nidresses?
It
gets trampled on, exactly. Askupa. I'm laughing before I even tell you the joke. I'm laughing myself. We had we made our first dedication dinner in the old shul many years ago, decades already. Anyhow, so we decided that we'll have this ad blank, and we were looking for nice names, categories. So everything was Habinyon. So there was Amud Habinyon, and Goiva Habinyon, and this and that, anyhow, all kinds of words. And so anyhow, the Shar Habinyon, Delis Habinyon, I don't know, whatever. We had different names. And of course, it represented different categories of money, starting with $5 and going down. No, I'm just kidding. but the fact is that the bottom category of the stumble was $72, something like that. $50, $72. Anyhow, somebody sends in a check for $18, and he adds another category, askupa hanidresses. The trampled upon threshold of the binyan. It's very, very, at least he knows the Gemara, but Metzidaf Kuftesvav, that's very nice. Anyhow, so what does he mean by askupa hanidresses, of course? By the way, it reminds me of something one of the Gedolim once said about Nafshika Ofar Lakoil Tihia, that we say in the Lakai Nitzor. So he says, step on me if you have to get somewhere, but stand to trample on me, that not. You know, that's Nafshika Ofar Lakoil Tihia, but with a limit. A scoop on addresses, you have to get in and out, in and out, in and out. What do you always do when you're going in and out of the door? You step on the threshold. So stepping on the threshold means total availability to the point of becoming a shmata. That's what Askupa Nidresis represents. It's constant and it's on the floor and you step on it. So for a dayan to become an Askupa Nidresis person is a way of saying complete abandon of your ego, complete abandon of your time, complete abandon of your koyach, altsfayenem. Altsfayenem. That's the Eitzah. Very fascinating. Because you can't give up your achrayus. So the alternative of saying it's not for me, goodbye and good luck, and I'm running for my life, does not exist. So there's only one other alternative. How do you fix something that you messed up? The Teretz says you become a better dayan. And part of being a better dayan is taking on maximum harvest. It's fascinating. Taking on more harvest. What, how do you take on more harvest? The Teretz says more availability. Very remarkable. Very remarkable. And what's the... And that's what he says. So the reference here, by the way, is to Gemara. I don't know if I any of the reference of these two is a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Amud Aleph. The Rav Ami and Rav Asi. That's exactly what I told you, but I'm just going to tell you what the reference is. So Rav Ami and Rav Asi were sitting and learning. The Gemara always calls it Beinei Amudei, like the Gemara in Brachos that you have. That first I used to daven in shul and learn in the Beis Medrash, but later I was matzilna hecha de kagarisna. I davened the Beinei Amudei where I was learning. In other words, Beinei Amudei is an expression. They had these pillars in the center of the Beis Medrash, very much like we have here, and they used to learn between the pillars, meaning they sat and they learned in the Beis Medrash, the yeshiva Beis Medrash. So they sat, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, and sat and learned the whole day, but they put up a sign that we are available, and whoever wants to come, just knock on the door. That's the Gemara. Kol shaita v'shaita avi tapchi, literally, tapchi a'ivro d'dasha. People used to knock on the door, right? And they would knock on the outside of the door, they would put, like, make an announcement, they put up a sign, whatever it is. They communicated, Bekitzer, that whoever wants to come for a Din Torah, let them come in. So they didn't have hours. I'm going to be available from 9 to 11. The rest of the day is my own. But they had to sit and learn. So how did they do it? They sat in the Beis Medrash. Whenever somebody came. I don't know if you've ever witnessed this, but you could witness it all the time with Rav Moshe and also with his sons, Ozan Gesundheitsstein, Rav David Feinstein. They have a system that's a little bit different. It reminds us of these spy stories or whatever, but you have to call the phone booth. And somebody has to answer the phone booth. And when they answer the phone booth, they ask, if can I speak to the Rosh Yeshiva? And if he's giving shiur, not. But otherwise, whatever he's learning, he goes and he picks himself up and he goes back to the phone booth. And he answers the shaila. And then he goes back to his learning. It says, Mamish, exactly this Gemara, the Shabbos Daf Yud. That's the first Gemara. What is the second reference that he has here? So that's not a Gemara. It's in the, what we call Masechtos Ketanos. There's one of the Masechtos is about Avelos. And it's called Maseches Smachos, exactly. So in Masechah Smachos Perek Ches Halacha Aleph, that's the Mishnayos of the Masechah Smachos, the Brises, right? So they took Reb Shimon and Reb Yishmael and they killed them, right? Asar Aruge Malchus. So Reb Yishmael was crying. So Reb Shimon said, I don't understand why you're crying. Two steps, meaning in a few moments, in a few seconds, you will be placed in the bosom of the greatest tzaddikim. Means your life is coming to an end. You shouldn't be so upset. Imagine you go to a chayla and you tell them that. You know, but we're talking about the Goinei Olam, and they knew that they were going to be killed. And he said, you have to have the right perspective. You're dying al kiddush Hashem. You'll be in the bosom of the greatest tzaddikim. He didn't understand why he was crying. If he was crying because, you know, it'll hurt. You know, he's going to lose his life. So he says, no. You think that I'm crying for that reason? Baichani, he said. I'm crying because she'onu neherogim kishoyf chedomim ukemechalei shabosos. It's an ignominious death that we are dying. We're dying like criminals, like murderers, and Mechal Shabbos, of course, in the Jewish system. But that's how we're dying also. So he said to him, it can't be poshut. We must have done something wrong. G'dayle hador, the tzaddike hador, if you're crying because it's such a death, then there must be something that we deserved. So he says, what could it be? Maybe you were in the middle of a meal, or you were trembling, you were tired, you were kind of not sharp in your thinking at that moment, and a woman came in and asked about a nida shaila, about a tum of a tara issue. And the shamish, listen to this. Not that he gave her bad advice. The shamish didn't let her in. He's in the middle of the meal, tired. You're not coming at the right time. It's unbelievable. What, a person not allowed to be a human being? There's a maisa with one of the gedolim, that a bar mitzvah bacher in Yerushalayim had a pshetel, and his father told him to go to this gadol to chazer over the pshetel. Tell him over the pshetel. Who was this gadol? Does anybody know? No. He goes and knocks on the door. It's Shabbos afternoon. The Chavina Rebbe, right. I knew that somebody would soon get it. He goes and he knocks on the door at Shabbos afternoon. The Chavina was a Goyin Olam and a tremendous tzaddik, but he was also human. And it was probably the only time during the week that he slept altogether. And in fact, it says in the Kisya Ari HaKadosh in the Kavanis that it's an Inyan, just like it says Shena Sarayim is no good during the week, Dafkan Shabbos it's an Inyan. Someone once said that's because when he was sleeping, he was mechavim to more things than anybody else when he was wide awake. But the fact is that there's an inyan to sleep on Shabbos. It's brought down in the Sfarim, the Paiskim. You know, the Reb Chaim Volozhiner was chastising his Talmidim because they were chatting, stam, dvarim b'talim on Shabbos afternoon. And he says to them, if you're not learning, go to sleep. Sheina b'Shabbos ta'anu. That's Rosh Teves. Shabbos. Sheina b'Shabbos ta'anu. Shin Beis Sof Sheina B'Shabbos Tanit. Go to sleep. So one of the Talmidim was a wise guy. So he says, maybe the Rosh Tevis is Sicha B'Shabbos Tanit. So he says, concerning you, he answered him right back. It says Leiv Chacham Liminai V'Leiv Kesil is my life. It depends where you put the pin on it. Is it Shin or is it Sin? Is it Sheina or is it Sicha Liminai L'Smai? Anyhow, Lemaisa, he was probably exhausted from the whole week of learning the Iyun and Paskin and Shilas and being a manhid. It was tremendous, right? The kid knocks, nobody answers, so what do you do?
Knock harder.
Knock harder, of course. Anyhow, finally he was nearly breaking the door down. Not only did the Chibina wake up, but he thought, you know, like there must be some emergency. Anyway, he comes running, he sees his little kid, and he says, what? He says, my tata sent me over that you should chazer over the pshetel with me. Or I should say over the pshetel to you. So he says to the child, you knock, and you knock so loud that you wake me up from my sleep for a pshetel? So the story goes that the kid's face turned into total astonishment. His eyes grew three times as big and filled his entire head. And he says, the Rebbe sleeps? So they say that the Chabina said that if that's how they think of me, then I can't sleep anymore on Shabbos. You know, yeah. It reminds me of what they say from the Satmar Rav, that somebody imitated him extraordinarily well. It mamish looked like the Satmar. So the Satmar Rebbe started to cry. That was a Purim or whatever. So he felt terrible. He says, Rebbe, I didn't mean to chepe you. Chas v'shalom. He says, no. So why are you crying? He says, because I'm wondering to myself how many times I imitate the Satmar Rav. But there are certain perceptions that a person has of a gadol. And the Chabinu said, I have to live up to that perception. And they say that he did that from then on to sleep Shabbos afternoon. Which is incredible, because obviously he didn't make up for it either. What I'm driving at is that availability is not a pashut dezach. I mean, we you know, hours and, you know, people, especially people get paid. People who get paid have hours. And if they have to go beyond that, they usually charge overtime or an increment of some sort. That's you're taking away from my life now. So what does it mean that you have to be available? But listen to this, Asara Ruge Malchus. You know what we're talking about? We can't even fathom their greatness. And that's not just a platitude. It's just so. And then he says, but look at this horrible chutzpedika death, this ignominious death, this ignoble death. Where does that come from? So he says to them, so they're looking for something they did wrong. Now, most people, they wouldn't have any problem finding something right at hand. He says, Shema, a woman came to you with a nida shayla, and the shamish sent that person away because the Rebbe is sleeping right now, or the Rebbe is eating right now, or the Rebbe is trembling right now, or whatever it is. And that's enough that you weren't available to her that could explain this horrible death. It's mamish nayra v'ayim. Why? Quotes a pasuk in the Torah, "Atayra Amra im anei ta anei oisai." So who's oisai? What are you painting him? You're not painting him. You're being normal. You're being alive. You're being human. You're being a bus of Adam. What's so terrible? It's not like a person said, "Come at 2 o'clock," and then you decide at 2 o'clock you're going fishing. So let him come. He'll come. He'll see I'm not there. He'll go away. I could see the avla. I could see a lot of such scenarios. But pasha, just because you're eating a suda, you're not entitled to eat your suda in peace? The answer is no. It's not a pel de gezach. So where's the makar for that? Leich hisra peis. So vaisto is an interesting thing. That once you reach a certain level of responsibility of arvus, you don't have to make a mistake to become that. That's the basic default after a certain point. If the Olam considers you the Gadol, you have to have that availability. Kaskupa hanidres is like a threshold that you trample on. It's mind-boggling, this. And it's the exact opposite of what you would expect. You see, because you see, a person, for example, in a business, so you're hired, or a law firm, you're hired as a regular lawyer, and you have to work all day. They eat you up. That's true. 2 o'clock in the morning, they'll send you in a taxi home and they'll pay for the taxi. That's what they'll do for you. But that's it. And where do you sit? You sit in, you have that little cubby which is made by dividers, by artificial dividers, and you sit next to 50 other people in the same large room. Then you become a junior partner. All of a sudden, you have your own office with a secretary. Not the most competent secretary from the bottom of the pool. But at least you have a secretary. And your office isn't facing the Statue of Liberty. It's facing the sanitation department. But the fact of the matter is you have your own office. And your hours are suddenly from 9 to 5. And you have all these other younger lawyers underneath you who have from 8 in the morning till 2 o'clock in the morning. Then you make full partner. You have a very competent secretary who him or herself also has a secretary. And you have your finally your big bay window office, which is huge and has a conference room in it, and it faces the Statue of Liberty, and your hours are suddenly from 9 to 12. It's mamish the exact opposite Gedolei Yisrael. It's an astonishing thing when you think about it. And I have to tell you, again, we don't have to hark back anymore to just about anybody that we know that is considered a God. There's no such thing as ours. There's no such thing as me. There's no such thing as my life. There's no such thing as my schedule. And none of them have secretaries. They have a lot of people who would love to be their secretaries, who drezach, but they don't really have, they don't have secretaries. There's no such thing as a secretary. There really isn't. It's mind-boggling. It's mamish mind-boggling. The most they have is an einigel, you know. That's but you know, there's no structure, there's no artifice. That's what the Goyen is talking about. And that's why he quotes this Maseches Machos. It's mamish, because it says imanei tanei oisai maksiv basrei, ends the Maseches Machos parakas imanei tanei oisai v'chora api bochem v'harakti eschem bechor. It's astonishing. Be'emes, the whole of Klal Yisrael is the arif for the world. And in Klal Yisrael, the Gedolei Yisrael are the Araven for Klal Yisrael. And the Araven for the world cannot be an Araven for the world unless the Araven for Klal Yisrael, the Talmid HaChachamim, the Tzadikim, the Goinim, the Manhigim, have that ultimate sense of responsibility. But the astonishing thing about this whole thing is what I told you before, that the entire Eitzah, and the only Eitzah, is not run for your life and don't ever do that again, because you may mess up. But tung faket mamish, become the askupa and addresses. Become the threshold that everybody steps on. And that's it's just remarkable. Look at the next pasuk dalet. Al titein sheina le'einecha usenuma le'afapecha.